Now, KMOX at your service. Welcome to the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Now, here's your host, Scott Mosby, on KMOX.
All right, good Saturday, good morning. We're off and running around the first turn, and it is the Helitech Home Improvement Show, and it is the Helitech Basement Foundation and Repair Home Improvement Show. Yeah, title sponsor, what's not to love? Well, we were going to have a Helitech guest in, but family events kind of curtailed that. Now it's going to be 2 hours of me, mono o thousands, whatever. It's me and you. Many of the questions that you have turned, we'll talk about here in the next 2 hours here on the Helitech Home Improvement Show. I have 10 phone lines. 10 phone lines. I've had a great morning. We're going to get started. And my mission here is to help you. We call this the At Your Service phone lines. That's the idea. You call, pose a question, idea, suggestion, great idea for around your home. We talk about it. If I have an answer, I'll share with you. If not, I'll share what I understand of the concepts, the topics, and the physics behind it so that we can kind of figure it out. So if I can teach you to fish, you can figure these things out in the future. If I give you a quick answer, that's kind of it. So for those of you that are new listeners, hopefully some new homeowners here trying to figure out how to take care of that home. Yeah. The questions are brief and the answers can be lengthy. My name is Scott Mosby. I've spent, oh my gosh, about 50 years either behind the tools, behind a design drafting board in the early years, and then a computer mouse. And now much of that stuff is digitally done to the point that when I started out as a carpenter, it was tape measures, hammers, and nails, and hand saws. Power saws were part of it, but they were, you know, kind of in the, yeah, that was for production cutting of a lot of pieces. My gosh, now we're on to two cordless drills, cordless tools, air nailers, but no extension cords, no big long hoses. Some have pneumatic actuators, and now we're on to cordless drills and nail guns as well. So much to talk about. 2 hours, you are the mission. You are the whole point. I'm here. My day job, if you will, is Mosby Building Arts. We are licensed architects and home remodelers. We renovate stuff. Think of us as house recyclers. We don't generally build too much new. However, we do some very comprehensive and extensive remodeling. Largest project to date, about $2.5 million. Smallest, free. We do some of those things as well. Once you're part of the Mosby family, you're part of the Mosby family. Even for associates and employees that come and go, and you're just still part of the family. Phone lines for you. All right, you know them. Come on, KMOX listeners, smartest people in the world. 314-436-7900, 436-7900. Toll free, 800-925-1120. We are off and running. We've got some good questions. My goodness, it's an Indian summer. Yeah, I love St. Louis. I love four changing seasons, but I can get along with today's 50-degree temperatures and tomorrow. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I'm an outdoor guy. Any opportunity, I'm there. 314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. Let's get started right away and get right to the phones. We've got such a good start for it. Let's talk to Greg. Hey, Greg, good morning. Welcome to KMOX, my friend. How can I help?
Hey, Scott, great show. I really love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to do a little spray foam in on the rim seal, rim joist of my crawl space just to stop a little air infiltration since we have some good weather.
Uh-huh.
I'm not quite sure which can to use. Should I use the regular can, the red one, or the blue one for window slash doors, or the orange one for the fire protective type one? I do have a furnace down there, but I'm not going to be spraying any foam even close to the furnace at all.
Okay, so this is a set. Do you have the foundation insulated as well? Do you have some foam on that on the inside?
Yes.
Oh, God bless your soul, man. You're doing the right thing. Don't worry about the minimal the middle expansion. There's enough room that if you use the standard spray foam, it will expand and you'll get more depth out of it. So you don't need the window and door stuff. That's minimal expansion. So the air bubbles are smaller. The amount of motion or movement doesn't blow the siding and the wall apart. So that's why we use the minimal expansion around windows, because if you leave that stuff alone on the standard stuff, it'll keep on growing for, you know, 30 minutes sometimes. And that'll just literally, my first experience with this stuff, golly, with my dad, probably 20 years ago, you know, we foamed in some windows and we went to lunch and came back and it blew everything apart. The windows were fine, but it, you know, pulled the drywall off, it pulled the siding out. So, good question.
So just use the regular type. I don't have to use it. So just use the regular type of foam.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, because there's nothing that will it doesn't have a second side or surface to wedge off. If you spray it on the band joist, which, by the way, is magical. Also, in that band joist, look up and see if you can find any penetrations for wiring that comes down through the floor. Spray those holes, because there's also a big deal, you know, especially on a crawl space where it's important to seal off all your pipe chases, your wires and anything like that going from that crawl space up, because you can get a real stack effect to where if you have a hole corresponding to that same, you know, say you've got a plumbing pipe coming down and it's kind of too big for the pipe, and then up at the top you've got another opening like that, you will start on a warm day like today with the sun, the attic will get hot. And the air will expand and rise, and as it leaves the attic, it will suck it in from the crawl space.
Gotcha. So, yeah, most of the areas I can hit with some caulk, but there were just a few areas that were bigger than that, so I just wasn't sure which type to use on that. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, Greg, I honor you. This is a very, very high-value thing you're doing. Very high value.
Oh, great. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Home Improvement, Scott Mosby. There's a whole bunch of building science, a lot of mistakes, as you've well known. Had a caller some years ago say, man, you seem to have a lot of the answers. Do you ever make mistakes? Boy, howdy. I'm the advantage of this show is I'm your pre-mistake guy. So by the time you call me and get an answer, it's already been pre-disastered. Yeah, I've already messed this up, learned from it, researched why it needs to be that way, painfully learned from my experience on what happens when you don't do it right. So I love sharing all of the stuff, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. I've walked that path. Walk a mile in my shoes. Maybe I can save you a little bit of old calluses, few busted knuckles in the world of trades, and we can talk about more. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Scott Mosby, very pleased to be here with you on KMOX.
Now, KMOX at your service. Welcome to the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Now, here's your host, Scott Mosby, on KMOX.
All right, live and lively, 50 degrees, sunshine, not a whole lot of wind, at least not right now. And we've got 2 hours of home improvement, and we're going to talk about it right here on KMOX. Thank you for joining me. I wish you a wonderful day today. It's going to be a terrific day, great weather, opportunity to get outside, maybe get together with the family and see what's happening. Let's get see what's happening here and go to John. Hey, John, good morning. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help?
Good morning. I have a situation in my basement where there's a rod that's been down for many years. I moved into the house a couple of years ago, and I think it's moldy, and it has a rubber backing on it.
Okay.
And what I'd like to do is remove the moldy rug and the backing, and then just seal it in some way, shape, or form. I don't plan to use the basement for entertainment, so just to make a nice, clean surface going forward. What recommendations do you have in terms of doing that in a cost-effective way?
John, is it a glued-down carpet, or is it just an area rug laid on the surface?
It is a glued-down carpet, and it appears as if there's some sort of a gluing substance that you can see on top of the cement.
Okay. Well, in starters, John, the carpet has to go, the rubber backing has to go. After that, if you get to raw concrete, you're in pretty good shape. The concrete is too alkali to support the growth of mold, so it would need to be scrubbed, maybe disinfect, kind of a bleach sort of thing with it after you get all this off, and then you're good to go. The concrete will not gather, hold moisture, and then grow mold on it after your cleaning is complete. The carpet will literally just pull off. This is a very messy, dusty task because the rubber backing disintegrates into dust once you're pulling it. So typically we will cut it up into sections. We'll take a utility knife or something like that, cut them into, whatever size we want to peel up, 6 by 6 feet, 8 by 8 feet, 10, whatever. Keep in mind this stuff can get heavy pretty quickly.
Sure.
So we will cut through the carpeting and then just literally grab a corner and start pulling. Sometimes on larger areas, it might take two people to pull that. The rubber stays on the floor. The adhesive stays on the floor. And then there are floor scrapers. If you can think of a kind of a putty knife with a very sharp edge on it, there are 10-inch, 12-inch wide floor scrapers that you literally sharpen virtually to a razor sharp, and you lacerate or cut this rubber mastic off the concrete. Don't worry about taking the rubber off of the mastic, but you've got concrete, and then usually it would be the yellow latex adhesive for carpets. A lot of it you've seen for tiles and such. And it can get pretty doggone hard. So when it gets really hard in some areas, do the easy stuff first. So kind of move quickly, cut off whatever you can, and then identify those places and come back. And then you can warm that up so you can rubberize or put more elasticity back into some of that if you warm that up with a heat gun. If you start burning it, though, you're going to have some pretty nasty fumes in that basement and can get pretty uncomfortable.
Is there a way to coat over the glue such that it would seal the surface and lead to something that would be, a serviceable thing to just walk across as I go to the laundry room?
Actually, the vinyl adhesive, the latex adhesive, pretty well seals the concrete pretty well. So if you cut it off, it's going to be ugly. So the problem is that it's unsightly, not that it's not really sealed. But you've already got a primer paint, which is this latex adhesive stuck to the concrete. And then you have to go to solvents to, we call it cutback, C-U-T-B-A-C-K, cutback. It's basically a solvent, or there are spray like Goo Gone, G-O-O-G-O-N-E, Goo Gone. Some of the flooring contractors will use that and then soften it up with a Goo Gone and then slice it off with this, which it gets to be a pretty ugly thing. And for that purpose, sometimes people put new floors down. They'll scrape the floor the best they can and then put something else that's on there. The problem is if there's humidity down there and moisture, any fiber will hold that moisture and wind up with the same mold again.
Well, thank you for your good advice.
Yeah, John, one thing I would like for you to measure the relative humidity down there with a digital hygrometer, just a digital thermometer, something you buy for $10 to $15, and just measure that relative humidity. When you hit 50 degrees relative, actually about 50% or 55%, that's when there's enough moisture that the bugs get happy and biological growth is supported by that moisture. So you get bugs, you get the mold, you get all kinds of things growing. So if you can keep your relative humidity in throughout the house below 50%, you're in good shape. So if you get down there and you pull this carpet off and, I would test it. But keep in mind, if you use water to clean up or move this with, you will induce a higher level of humidity. So you will be the source of the humidity in your cleaning removal process as well. So you need to do it kind of before you start taking the carpet off.
Right. Sounds like an ugly job.
Man, I'll tell you what, it is. I've been there, done that so many times, and it is an ugly job. And you know, carpet and floor companies are used to doing this stuff. There are mechanical machines that actually kind of chip and slice this, so it's kind of like a, you know, like a Hoover snout vacuum cleaner that has these blades, so it kind of will slice this off for you. So there are mechanized ways, but they're pretty specialized tools.
Sure. Where can I get those?
You might try a rental place. I'm not sure what they have, but and it's not a chipper. You know, there's a tool like that that is a chipper that actually has hard steel for chipping off ceramic tile.
Great.
So, all right. Good luck, John.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye now. We have Mr. Brian Kelly stepping in. We've got some cause for the newsroom.
Yes, the traffic update for you, Scott. Westbound 70 at Cypress. Only the left shoulder is getting by. Now, officially, MoDOT says it's closed, so they're probably just letting the cars that are stuck there get through. But it's backed up past the inner belt right now.
Oh, my.
And so westbound I-70, as you pass the airport up ahead at Cypress, it's closed. And so you'll want to get off there, maybe use Natural Bridge or some other way to get by and avoid that.
Wow, or avoid Highway 70 west, you know, find another route.
Head down the inner belt to 40, 64 would be one way to go as well.
All right.
Up to 270.
Cool.
So,
Brian, will you keep us updated?
I will do.
There we go, Mr. Kelly, the real live and professional newsroom of KMOX. Let's see what's cooking here and talk with Steve. Hey, Steve, good morning. Welcome to KMOX. How can we help?
Thank you for taking my call. I moved out to Peabody and been out here like 3 months. Had a water softener installed because, you know, it was needed.
Yep.
I'm getting a new furnace put in. I'm going to go ahead and have a humidifier put in.
Yeah.
And the guy wanted to, the contractor says they want to have untreated water because they said they've had problems with water softened damage in the AC coil. So I'm in the process of leaving a hardware store to get some plumbing because I want to go ahead and make sure I get untreated water going to my outside faucets anyway. I just wanted to get your thoughts and opinions on water softener and AC evaporators.
Oh, for sure. Well, number one, the salt from the desalinization from the water softener will attack the furnace as well. So if you there is residual sodium chloride salt that will be in that humidified air if you don't use standard hard water. The other side of it is if you use hard water, now you've got a lot of grit that is in suspension. So think of it as floating little granules of sand. So what I would suggest is untreated water and then just up line of your dehumidifier or your humidifier, put in a filter element, you know, a standard particulate water filter. You follow what I mean? So you're going to catch the big grit and pluggers from that filter and then monitor that filter regularly.
Okay. So put an inline filter between the water supply and the inlet to the humidifier.
Yes, sir.
To filter out the water coming into it. Perfect. Thank
you for washing cars and watering plants, you know, you can, you know, that sand and that mineral deposit will actually help them. So don't worry about it.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Good question, Steve. Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
And we get so many questions, or I do, oftentimes about humidifiers. Humid, you know, oh, man, it's humid. Well, a humid adder is a humidifier, so it adds moisture to the air. Dehumidifier or dehumid is lowering the amount of moisture in the air. On a day like today, with a little bit of rain that we had in some of the areas of the KMOXville, it's going to be, and the direct sunlight, we are now vaporizing all that water into a steam, if you will, or vapor form. So it's going to be a humid day, relatively humid. So anyway, think about that. 314-436-7900 is our phone number, or toll-free 800-925-1120. My name is Scott Mosby. I am thrilled to be here. I am at your service here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Now, once again, here's your host, Scott Mosby, on KMOX.
All right, you learning junkies, we've got seminar time. It's seminar time. Learn as much as you want to know. So we've got some 2018 seminars that I and my company put together, at least when it's not during the radio show. But the first one is February 24th, Exteriors, Windows and Doors. The following month, March is Outdoor Living, and then in April, it's bathrooms. Typically hall bathrooms, more simple type things. Talk a little bit about master bathrooms, but generally they're your simpler 8x12 or 5x7, 5x8, whatever it is. So anyway, exteriors, outdoor living, right bath, and then as we go throughout the rest of the year, it's a lot more things. Topics include additions, kitchens, bathrooms again, only get to more comprehensive bathrooms, and then in October it gets into lower levels. You want to check it out, check out callmosby.com, callmosby.com. Let's get right on the phones and see what's cooking here with Paul. Hey, Paul, good morning. Welcome. How can I help you, my friend?
Yes, I have a cream-colored Formica countertop that has like an area that's been worn away, you know, from scrubbing, trying to clean it.
Oh, yeah.
And is there any way to repair that and not replace? Because my countertop is like 30 foot long, and I don't want to replace the whole thing.
In a word, no, that is a courtesy of abrasive cleansers. My mother scrubbed the pattern right off of a butcher block Formica top years ago, and that is our scrubby Dutch heritage, and it's the abrasive cleanser that did it. So you literally, somebody sanded the surface off of that Formica.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the good news is, yes, if you're really good, you can remove a sheet of Formica by heating it up with an iron. So when we fix Formica or do small scale repairs, just like the person who was removing the floor adhesive in the basement, if you heat it up, it gets a little softer, and then you can pull that Formica off. The problem with that, Paul, is you can't duplicate the laminate. You know, they don't, even if it's the same pattern and number, the color and shade difference over the years will be dramatically different. So even if you had a sheet from that run lot 30 years ago or whenever, it won't match. So yes, you can, and no, you shouldn't.
All right.
How's that for a long and the short of it?
Yep, that sounds good. I appreciate it.
Thanks. All right, Paul. Take care. Bye. And next up, let's see, we've got a little bit of help from our friends. Ed, good morning. Do you have some suggestions for us on flooring, my friend?
Ed, yes, Scott, I had the same problem that John had with that flooring in the basement.
Yeah.
And I went to the orange-colored box store, and I got me a floor buffer. After trying it for a long time, I got a floor buffer, one of the one-inch real coarse thick pads that go on there.
And then
I took a piece of metal lath that comes in like a 3x4 sheet, and I cut it as round as the pad that I got with the buffer, put it on there, and that stuff came off like a dream.
Now, are you describing hardware cloth here, Ed?
No, there's a pad that comes when you're scrubbing the floor.
Yeah, yeah, the white 3M Brillo-looking thing.
Yeah, white. It's the one I had was red.
Yeah,
and that's what held. That's what held the lather screen in place for me.
Yeah,
and then it left a little bit of scratches on it, but I took that pad then and went over the whole floor again. And it came out just like, not like new. It still had some marks in it. But
right, right.
It was a whole lot easier doing it that way, because I tried everything you said. And I just got so aggravated. I had sat and thought about it for a while and come up with that, and it worked out really good. Came off real easy.
That's a really good way. Those pads, so this might be from a tool rental, and sometimes for floor finishing or refinishing, those abrasive pads typically go on for stripping finish to refinish hardwood floors. The different colors or different grits, if you will, kind of like rubbing compound on cars. Great idea. Wow. Thanks,
yeah.
Ed.
But what really did it, though, Scott, is the metal lath.
Wow.
Like
plaster lath? That's what you're talking about. Oh, my gosh.
The plaster lath. Yep. But, I mean, it took it. That, you know how sharp that stuff is. It took it off just amazingly.
So you put that plaster lath on the bottom of the mesh pad, or what held it in place?
Right. I had the machine, the mesh pad, and then I cut out a circle the same size as the mesh pad.
Wow.
And that held the lather screen in place for me. And then I scrubbed it and done what I had to do. And then I went over it. I took the screen off and went over it just with the pad, and it kind of smoothed it out a little bit more.
Yeah, well, there's an open mesh, you know, the sanding mesh, like for drywall or abrasives, and they do have those open mesh pads, I know, as part of wood floor finishing that you could have finished it with. But, man, nothing as cool as that plaster lath. That's a great idea, Ed.
Oh, man, it worked out great, Scott.
Wow.
Hope it helped somebody.
Man, I hope so. You might have saved somebody all kinds of time and health stuff, too.
I hope so. Yeah, because the dust was, it didn't really give off a lot of dust doing it that way either.
Yeah, you're cutting off big chunks.
Yeah, and it was more low to the ground and doing, you know, but it worked great.
Okay.
I hope John can try that and see if it works for him.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
There you go. Ed, his suggestion one more time, and especially for John, on removing rubber back carpet in the basement. That was John's question. And Ed is proposing that a floor buffer, you know, they're the big floor buffers. They're 16, 20, 24 inch. They're big. They're made for refinishing floors and for polishing waxed floors on composite tile. These same buffers can be used with abrasives to remove the clear finish off of a wood floor, literally remove the top surface off of a slight wood floor. And what Ed is suggesting is plaster lath. You know, like the old wood lath you think about? This is plaster lath, L-A-T-H, P-L-A-S-T-E-R, plaster lath. And it is very sharp, and it is used to nail on the wall that the plasters use. Then they apply their three coats of plaster to give you a plastered wall or surface. That stuff is really sharp. I know exactly what he means. So he's cutting that into a disc, putting it on the bottom of a mesh pad, which you can get at the same place as the rental, and then on you go from there. Great idea. Thank you, Ed. Good idea. We have an update here from Brian Kelly, the KMOX newsroom. Brian, any things developing?
Yeah, a little bit. It looks like that westbound 70, the accident's still there at about Cypress. The left lane appears to be open. The backup goes back to Air Flight, not quite to the inner belt. It's one of those where I think if you just wait a few minutes, you'll get through it okay. Still a pretty good backup and pretty slow. Of course, you can use the inner belt to add up to 270 or way down to 64. But I kind of think sticking with it's probably the good idea. But do expect a delay as you're coming up past the inner belt, approaching the airport, and the accident is up on the right side up at Cypress. They'll move you to your left.
Okay. Thank you. Will you keep
you
us
bet.
Updated?
I will.
All right. There you go. The mastery, wizardry, and experience of the KMOX newsroom. There you go, Brian. Now you have to do good stuff all the time.
Pressure's on.
Well, I can't tell you. I come into KMOX in the studio every day, and, you know, you all know that KMOX is, you know, kind of an iconic thing back to the 20s. And, you know, the history, the place in the community. We have Edward R. Murrow, and you know who that was, Ed, for those of you that remember Edward R. Murrow, the broadcaster, and Edward R. Murrow Award. And I pass 100? I mean, one wall, nothing but these incredible industry awards from the radio and media industry. And kudos to KMOX over the years. So pretty impressive stuff. Let's see what's cooking here and talk to Mary. Hey, Mary.
This.
Mary, how can we help you there?
Yes, thank you for your service. We have an enclosed back porch that has a ceiling painted, open, and it's open ceiling, and it has what we suspect to be lead paint. Can we just put kills over that, or can we just paint over that?
Yes, you can. There are two ways to handle, you know, actually a toxic material. One is to remove it. Well, when you remove it, you're, you know, messing with it, and that stuff's going to get airborne. So the lead paint, if you encapsulate it, one of the accepted methods, and it would be a latex paint because you want a high solids, thick paint coating, and that encapsulation does include painting. And it may take more than, you know, one coat or something to really isolate it, but you betcha, you sure can. Now, here's another thing. Mary, you can also put a new surface over it, so you can leave it in place and apply, you know, drywall, beaded wood ceiling, some sort of a thicker panel, whatever it is. So encapsulating includes covering it up with something else other than paint, too.
Okay. Now, is Kills a better product to use than just the latex paint?
It's not. You don't need the Kills. Kills is for stains, so it's for chemicals, mold, things that the high solvent and the sealing nature. Nothing will bleed through a Kills. That's the idea of a stain blocking paint. What you're trying to do is just cover it up. So whether you want to wallpaper it, paint it, or drywall it, you're okay. But you don't need anything as high performance as the Kills. Although Kills will do a fine job. And if it's a smelly room, Kills is effective at covering up the past smells from the future, too. So it may be another reason why you do choose the Kills.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you so much for your answer. Appreciate it.
You bet, Mary. It's something I like to help you with. And lead paint's everywhere, so there's a good probability it's lead.
All right. Thank you again.
All right. I've been around long enough that I built a custom home in the 80s for a man whose father-in-law was a retired decorator. And his world, he came from lead dust, you know, brown bags of lead dust with turpentine and pigment. They made their own paint coatings. So believe me, I've seen that stuff made. And if you've ever seen lead dust, you know, in commercial form, that's what, and the stuff, I mean, you're basically laying a layer of lead over the surface. And that's why it was a magical coating material. You know, never mind it, you know, once it gets airborne into our lungs or ingested, we just can't get rid of the stuff. The body just can't get rid of it. Home Improvement, KMOX, Scott Mosby here on KMOX for you.
Now, KMOX at your service. Welcome to the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Now, here's your host, Scott Mosby, on KMOX.
All right, topping off hour one, we've got some great questions and topics. We've got all sorts of things to talk about. And let's see what's happening here. Let's talk with Dan. Dan, good morning. How can I help, sir?
Hey, Scott. I have a 30 by 35-foot patio. It's a paver patio.
Mm-hmm.
And when it got really cold a few weeks back, there was a couple places where it kind of buckled up.
Yes.
And so as it's warmed up, it seems like the pavers have kind of gone back into position.
Mm-hmm.
But we are getting ready to have a party like in April. So I'm hoping that they go back down. But my question is, do you know, one, what causes that? I'm sure it's water.
Mm-hmm.
But two, would it have been could I avoid it if I would have put down that sealant? And what kind of sealant do you recommend?
No, you can't stop it with sealant. Sealant will lessen some stains. So if you've got, you know, bluebird berries that are falling or droppings from birds or oak leaves, that's where the sealer can help. The problem is it is the soil, the subgrade underneath the pavers that freezes, expands and lifts up that paver. So one of the ways to handle that is to have a deeper gravel subgrade. But even so, pavers come up and down. That's the beauty of them. Sometimes they don't realign. You pull them back and you use the sand space underneath it to re-level it, pound it, and then re-sand the grout or the joints, if you will. But no, it's okay. It should go back down. And my recommendation is, unless you have other problems you're trying to limit, don't seal it, because it slows down how fast the moisture moves through those pavers. And it, so it traps moisture onto the patio. And then when we get deep freezes like this year, and for the last two winters, we really haven't had long deep freezes. So the soil literally freezes, the moisture in it expands, and that's what lifts up concrete, asphalt, pavers, front porches, stoops, makes, you know, the steps on front doors and outside doors pinch. So, yep, it's Mother Nature.
All right, great. Thank you.
Good question, Dan. Thank you. Bye now.
All right, bye.
And next up, let's see what's happening here with Mary. Hey, Mary, good morning. Welcome. How can I help?
Hi. I have a deck with a pergola, and it's like 22 feet by 12 feet, mm-hmm. and I like to cover it for protection from the rain and such.
Okay.
The thing of it is, only half of it comes out from the house. The other half, you know, extends away from the house.
Okay.
So I didn't know if, you know, covering it with something like plexiglass or that wavy product.
Is this to enclose the walls on it, to make enclose it a bit?
Well, just the roof, not the sides. Just I want to have a cover over the roof.
What's on the roof?
Well, I mean, the pergola, it's just those slats of wood.
Okay. So it's an actually wood slatted strip, if you will.
Yeah, there's, you know, several of them. You know, just, I don't know if they're like 4 by 1 inch slats going all the way across.
Yeah.
And I just thought if I could cover it so that you could be out there in the rain.
Neatest thing I've seen on something like that, and Mary, we get called to put real roofs on and shingles and all that, which changes a lot of things. It weight, maintenance, all that stuff. I've actually seen awning companies put, for example, the fabric for building awnings or tents. I've seen them actually put a fabric over the top of these things and stretch it. So they have to make a frame and install places to secure it. And then you have to go up there and put this thing on. So there's some hazardous duty involved in that. But, you know, people like, you know, Lawrence Tent and Awning, you know, some of the big fabric fabricators that, you know, just you see around town. So that's the most clever thing I've seen. Then you come back to just tarps, you know, the plastic tarps. The problem with that is they're lightweight enough that, you know, on a day like yesterday or some windy days and these in-between hot, cold days, you know, they blow and they flap like a sail on a sailboat, and they can pound the finish or abrade that wood surface and make it pretty ugly when you take it off. So be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. Whatever you put on there has to be drawn so tight, taut like a drumhead, to keep from damaging that sub base.
Well, okay, so something like plexiglass, you know, that wavy product that's out there that you see sometimes.
You can. The problem with so yes, that's true. You could put sheets of the polycarbonate, which is clear plastic. That's possible, though a little bit unusual. But yeah, you can do that. The issue now is whether the foundation, the piers, the concrete underneath is made to hold snow and ice, because when you let the water come through, the building code says you really don't need a lot of foundation, you know, so a lot of these pergolas get built without much of what's needed to hold them up. Then you put on a real roof that doesn't allow the water to come through, and then you trap snow, then you trap ice. That stuff gets too heavy, and then even on the rack strength, you know, you get a side wind on one of those things, and it just falls over. I don't know if you hear anything about the Lake of the Ozarks, all these places that had ice storms literally crushed the boat docks because, you know, those metal structures just aren't made for holding up that much weight, so it just collapses.
Yeah.
So beware what you ask for.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Mary, take care. Bye now.
Bye.
And that's one of the things with the awning fabrics, that they still let some water through, so it's not perfect, but it's a high-quality material, much less costly than, you know, we're in the design-build business, so our job is to come up with a workable solution, kind of whether or not it's sticks and bricks or the stuff we do. So we've applied some pretty clever awning covers on some existing structures just so we didn't create a new problem like that structure whatever. Hold the line. We've got some great things. Again, seminars are on callmosby.com or scottmosby.com, your choice. Either one takes you there, and take a look and see. Got some great things. Design a winning basement. That's a little bit interesting as well. So we're going to take a short pause, come back for news, weather, and sports, get an update from Brian Kelly on the traffic problem that we've got on westbound Highway 70. Beware, it's near the Cypress exit. Scott Mosby, KMOX Home Improvement. Stay tuned. More coming up.
The voice